हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
पेज 36 Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has commented on this verse as follows. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is endowed with great spiritual potencies. Because of mundane concoction, the conditioned soul imagines that the absolute truth is devoid of variegated spiritual potencies by which he may enjoy blissful life. So the living entities, then they will imagine, remember it's before it was saying about, it's all about the imagination, right? So the illusion that Maya creates, that it's something that you can apply your imagination to and make it even better, like that. So this imaginative element, then they concoct that he doesn't have any qualities or senses, because we take it that mundane has qualities and senses, and that's a problem. So therefore, spiritual must be the opposite. Right? Because that's generally whatever it is. Whatever is the situation we're in, if it's bad, then the opposite of that situation must be better. Right? That's the common way we go about problem solving. Right? Although the living entity is the spiritual potency of the Lord, he is presently situated in the inferior illusory potency, and by engaging in mental speculation, he becomes bound in conditioned life. Right? 'Cause you speculate on how you could make the material world work. Right? That's how you get bound. 'Cause the one thing is you see, this is not working, this is stupid, then you leave it. But no, you think, no, but if we made this adjustment, that adjustment, and so, we've been doing that for a long time, right? So whatever is there, it's always, oh, but if we tried this, maybe then, right? So we see that if the living entity decides, well, maybe the material nature is not worthwhile, that's a very unique thing, right? So we see when someone gets faith in Krishna consciousness, they basically kind of seen that the material world is not going to give what you're looking for. So that's a unique position. Right. So when we're talking about neophyte, intermediate, and advanced, they put with them the madhyama, unless this is used, whatever the uttama. Then the difference is how much it's about yourself and how much it's about Krishna. But in any case, Krishna is always involved. There's no question he's not involved for the devotee. It's just a matter of how much. Right? So the uttama means that it's predominant, and when you get to prema, it's exclusive. Right?
And so Maharaj, when Krishna is not involved, it is only mental speculation.
Yes, yes. Because it means you can say, but it's karma, they're not jnanis, but they're speculating on how they'll enjoy. You know, it's just like, okay, every night we eat dinner at home, so why don't we go out? That's a speculation that we're eating dinner at home, it gives a particular flavor, and, you know, we've done that, so why not do something that gives a different flavor, and then we're speculating that it will be better.
Yes.
Right? And then, okay, so where to go? Then you speculate on which place will be the place to go. And then once you get there, then you speculate, well, which thing's on the menu? Like that, or which table to sit at, or, you know, all these different things. So it's constantly that. Does that make sense? You know, what's the topic you're going to talk about? What do you do after dinner? Do you just go straight home, or do you go for a bit of a drive or a walk, or you know, you go to a show, you know, like this. It just keeps, you just keep speculating like that. Then the jnanis, that's all they do, because they don't even do anything practical. They don't even go out to dinner, right? You know, like that. So, does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. Well, it seems the intellectuals generally order out for dinner. They don't go out. It's too socially engaging for them. Right? You know. Why waste your time, right? You could be speculating.
And this imagination can also be used in Krishna's service. How to plan our services and everything.
That's there, but then we don't call it imagination, we don't call it speculation. Right? That's the whole point. Then we'll apply it as deliberation. You know, contemplation, deliberation, these kind of things. Does that make sense? But when it's just like engaging the senses, not for Krishna, we call it sense gratification. When it's used for Krishna, then it's called devotional service. It's the same thing. Yeah, don't worry. You can continue to speculate for Krishna. You don't have to worry that. Means that means I'm going to stop thinking and just become a zombie or a robot? Like that. No. Liberation means that the living entity should transfer himself to the spiritual potency of the Lord, which can be divided into three categories. Hladini, the potency of bliss, Sandini, the potency of eternal existence, and Samvit, the potency of omniscience. Right? So then knowledge then comes into that third category, but it also means activity. Because if you're aware of something, then there's an action. If there's only existence, there's no action. But when there's, how you say? What did we just say? Omniscience. When there's awareness, then there's what you're going to do with it. You're going to apply the knowledge on that and then do something. That will give results, yes.
Now, once you explain the connection between Hladini, Sandini, and Samvita, and Ichakri and Jnana.
Now go through again. Means you're dealing in sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana, right? This vastutraya, you could say that is the philosophy, right? And so then everything will fit into these categories. It's just a matter of which framework you're using to fit into that category. You know, which angle you're taking, which aspect, or like that. So, and Krishna is also known as the Lord of Threes. You know, because it always comes in these aspects of threes. Because even if you say, well, why three? Because there's just him and his energy, but then there's the connection. But he exists, his energy exists, but then their interaction, that's the third. So you always have, because of its relationship, it's dynamic relationship. You know, it's not like, okay, the rock is on the paper. Right? Now all we need is some scissors, right? And then we're going, right? We'll leave out the lizard and Spock, okay? Yes? Yes. So, then in that three, then you're going to get the aspect of relationship, you're going to get the aspect of process, and you're going to get the aspect of result. Right? So, then in this is then Icha, Kriya, and Jnana, then your Jnana is that existence. Or how you can say the relationships are static. Because one thing exists, another thing exists, they have a relationship. Right? Then, you're going to apply that relationship, right? In other words, process. And then you're going to get a result, which is pleasing Krishna. So, Icha. So, to please his desire, then the Icha, and I mean the Jnana and Kriya, then they, acting together, then support Krishna's pastimes. Right? Then, so that is the, what did we say? That was the prabhava, I think, the influence. Because that's why things are going on, right? Then you have the vibhava, or the causes of these things coming up. So you have sandini, samvit, and hladini, right? So then hladini is in the position of the icha, because it's about pleasing Krishna, right? So Radharani is the Hladini Shakti. She, I mean, she's the Sarup Shakti, but she manifests as Hladini. You know, just like Krishna, he's manifesting as the Icha. You know, the Lord of the Icha. Like that. Balaram as the Lord of Kriya, and Vasudeva as the Lord of Jnana. right? So then the Vibhava, what gives rise to that, then you'll have, in the Sandini, you'll have, you know, all the Lord's paraphernalia, the dham, all, you know, the how you say, the devotees in Shantaras, you know, like the trees and the flowers and the lotuses and the cows and all this kind of thing. So that's the situation that gives rise to the rasa. You know, just like when Krishna went out on the Sharat evening, then he saw the full moon and thought, this is a perfect time for a rasa dance. Right, so it's vibhava. It gives the rise to the whole aspect, and it also generates the, you know, the particular activeness of the relationship. You know, does that make sense? You know, there's Krishna and the devotees, and that from vibhava, you know, it has alambana and udipan, like that. So then that example of the moon and the mood of Vrindavan, that's the udipan. Right, but then it's going to be, he is the Vishai, will enjoy with the gopis who are the Ashrai. Mm-hmm. Right? In other words, it gives rise to that particular sentiments being appreciated by Krishna and those particular devotees. Right?
Yes.
Does that make sense? So then, yeah. Then the Chit Shakti, or the samvit, then that is omniscience. So you have to know what's going on. You have to be able to see. You have to then apply. And then from that you can produce results. Does that make sense? Because if you can't tell it's there, how do you work with it? How do you produce a result? Right? And what's the purpose of the result? Right? That's going to be Krishna's satisfaction, Krishna's pleasure. In other words, you're pleasing him. You know, his desire, Icha, and how you're doing that, that's through Haladini. Right? In other words, he will be pleased, but how will that happen? Through Haladini. Right? Because it has that personal aspect. So we, as assistants to Haladini, then understanding the situation, applying that, will get results that are then pleasing to Radha and Krishna. Does that make sense?
Right? Can we say that it all begins with the prabhav of Krishna?
It starts with the Icha, with Krishna's desire.
Yeah. So then, prabhav and Icha is one and the same, as per the definition.
Prabhava, by what we were defining, prabhava is the form of Icha, Kriya, and Jnana. Okay. Vibhava is the form of Samvit, Sandini, and Hladini.
Yes.
Right? Then you have another form, is you have internal potency, external potency, and marginal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that will also be the same. The material existence, or the external potency, it's that existence element. So you'll see that aspect of the Jnana Shakti and the Sandini and those kind of flavors there. The jiva then is working in that position in the middle, the abhideya position, right? Because there, then the ones that are between Krishna and Radharani and making it work there, right? And then you have the internal potency, which is filling Krishna's desires, bringing about his pleasure, right? So different flavors, all these explanations, depending on what you want to bring out. You also have the masculine and feminine, right? So you have the subject, the object. But then the action between, that's where the jivas get involved. The devotees get involved as an instrument. So then that's, you know, Krishna's the sambandha aspect, Radharani is the prayojana aspect, and the jivas take part in the process as an instrument. Does that make sense? So when we say male and female, that means, yes, you're dealing with the sambandha and prayojana, but the point is that there's the interaction. So that's the abhideya. Right? So then the focus, if we're looking at it from that, then where's the focus? Right? The focus is not on the masculine or the feminine, it's on the interaction. So it's not on Krishna or Radharani, it's on their interaction. It means we'll bring up Krishna, he looks like this and this and that, that sets that flavor. Radharani, she's looking like this, or they've made this arrangement or like this. But it's going to be what they do in that situation. Does that make sense? You know, so Krishna's, dressed himself like this. The gopis have dressed themselves. They've arranged kunjas. They've done all this. But now, it's how the pastime unfolds that's going to be unique.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So the focus isn't on these other aspects. It's there. It adds to. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like you have the table, you have the tablecloth, you have the candles, you have like this. But those are kind of more generic, even though you may vary them. But it's just, you know, just to know that it's not the same boring thing, but it's not what's going to happen at the table. That's what's important.
What is in the plate?
Yeah, what's on the plate, yeah. Yeah. So otherwise, if you make all that arrangements, bring all the plate, everything set up perfectly, all the crystal and silver and, you know, the nardataki and everything. But there's nothing on the plate.
No, it's not like this.
That's you. Yeah.
Cost you a fortune.
Yeah. It is also, I heard one thing that there's a reason for that, because they could put it on a small plate like that. It doesn't look as good. But also, the other thing is if they put it on a plate that big, then you think it's more like a snack thing. So then by eating that, you become satisfied on the snack level. And you can eat a few snacks, right? But now if you put it on a big plate, it looks so small that you're never going to feel satisfied because it doesn't match.
So you order more?
So let's say if we were just looking at it as a snack, you might take 3 items. But if you're looking at it as a meal, you might take 5 or 6. You know, so it's also has economic backgrounds to its method there. You know, because anywhere else, if it's a snack, it comes on a small plate.
Yeah.
You know, you know, it's just like, you know, let's say you order the main and you order a side dish, but technically the side dish is the same size and volume, but they'll put it on a small plate, so you think it's a snack, like that. So if you were smart, you'd just order snacks. You wouldn't even order mains like that. Yeah. Or go somewhere else.
Some menus are just the snacks.
Huh?
Some menus are just the snacks.
Yeah, that's there. But then...
Maybe it's all snacks.
Yeah, it's all snacks, but then you get more. Their snack is bigger than the others, the meal, right?
When we say that the Lord is always the Lord of three, like you see,
yeah.
So the jiva, his position is always to be, can say, with to assist Krishna Radharani.
He's always assisting the Haladini. Jivas always do that. They never, like for us in our line, the highest jiva will be Rupa Goswami, but he's always assisting. So jivas assist. That's what they do. That's their position. So if that's understood, then it makes things very, you know, straightforward and simple. You know what you're doing. You're going to be assisting the devotees who are serving Krishna. Right? Or you're assisting the devotees who are assisting those who are serving Krishna. Because Lord Chaitanya says, dasanu, dasanu, das. Because there's going to be those who are directly serving, those who are assisting them. And then we're assisting there somewhere in the line. Right? So that's always going to be. So the internal potency is the one that directly deals with Krishna. But by being in the fire, we're the same as. No one will make the distinction. You know? Like that. You say, okay, we need to do this service. Oh, this one could do it. Oh, they're jiva. You need to bring some internal potency to this one. They don't do that. You know? Like that. So you're always assisting, always following. So the jivas can take up any position. You know, if someone wants to be a cow, then they can be a cow. But otherwise, the sandini will take care of all that. Right? Does that make sense? So whatever is required to create the environment or the atmosphere or the situation, that sandini does. Does that make sense? You know, so it's like, yeah.
It's not a jiva.
It's not jivas, no. And then the arrangement of how it goes on and all that, then that's all done by the chit potency, or the something. You know, it means the pastime, how it is arranged. It means the situation is the sambandha, how the pastime itself is arranged is the abhideya, and then the experience gained from that, that's the prayojana. Right? So it's always going to be assisting Radharani. Like that. And then there's the arrangements, that means the applying the arrangements, and there's the arrangements. So arrangements, applying the arrangements, and then how that's going to please Radharani in her service to Krishna. Is that?
Yes.
Yeah. Since the personality of Godhead is eternally endowed with a pure existence of bliss and knowledge. Right, so pure existence, that's the eternity, right? Yes. Bliss is the ananda and knowledge. Yeah. He is never conditioned or liberated. The living entity, however, being entangled in the Lord's material potency, is sometimes conditioned and sometimes liberated. The neutral original state of the three modes of nature is called Maya. When the three modes of nature interact, one of them will become powerful, subordinating the other two modes, until another mode becomes prominent. So there's always this tussle between the modes of just which one's prominent and all that. So that's why we cultivate goodness, because it keeps passion and ignorance at bay. If you cultivate that, it will be the prominent mode, then passion and ignorance will have minimal influence. Then by doing that in connection with Krishna, then you're cultivating pure goodness. So that means then you can have goodness without passion and ignorance. So that actually is stable. Goodness will be as stable as you can get in the material world. But we want to have it eternally, so that has to be pure goodness. Yes?
When we say about the gunas in this vasta tribe, we say they're part of the external energy, we don't classify them?
They're a part of the external energy, then we see that it...
You put it in some...
It's the reflection. So then the modes of nature are just reflecting this effect of this... Of these, what do you call it? Of the sambandhavide and prayojana. So ignorance will be the situation that we're in. Passion will be the activity, the process, and then mode of goodness will be the result. Right. Does that make sense? That's if you're applying it in that way. If you're applying it by time, then ignorance will be the past, the passion will be the future, and goodness is the present.
Yes.
So that way you're always doing things in the present. So if you do things in the mode of goodness in the present, then that's the proper thing.
And isn't that the reflection of Shri Bhu and Nila, are goodness, passion, and ignorance?
Shri Bhu and Nila?
Nila is ignorance. Bhu is passion and Shri is goodness.
Shri, say again?
Shri is goodness.
Right.
Bhu is passion. And Nila is ignorance.
Means you could.
That's what the Pancharatra Agama defines.
Yeah, means you can do that. Yeah, means the lords of those three. Heard that? Yeah. So then that can be applied also, yes. Because it all comes down to these three. It's just a matter of everybody fits into these three. Just like Krishna's Madan Mohan is Sambandha, Govinda's Abhideya, Gopinath is Prayojana.
Yes.
Right? So then you'll also have Shri Bhu and Nila will fit into that. In this way, the three can be distinguished in their variety of manifestation. Although the threefold material potency expands from the personality of Godhead, the Lord Himself, in His personal form, is the actual abode. The actual abode of the three spiritual potencies, namely eternity, bliss, and knowledge. Okay. If one desires to become free from the entanglement of conditioned life within the material sky, called the kingdom of Maya, one must come to the spiritual sky, when the living entities are filled with bliss, possesses eternal spiritual bodies, and engage in the loving devotional service of the Lord. By developing one's eternal spiritual form in the loving service of the Lord, one immediately transcends the duality of conditioned life and impersonal liberation, and can directly experience the spiritual potencies of the Lord. At that time, there's no possibility of false identification with the material world. Right? When you're fully identifying as servant of Krishna, then how can you identify with something in the material world? That's why you won't be entangled. Right? So we're entangled because of false identification.
Yes.
So if there's no false identification, then you can't be entangled in the modes of nature.
Yes.
Right? So makes sense. Yeah, because if we see I'm the controller and enjoyer, then I have to have a false identity to do that.
Yes.
Because I'm not the controller and enjoyer. Right?
Yes.
So you must have, if we see I'm servant of Krishna,
yes,
then there's no false identity.
Yes.
Right? So there's no interest in sense gratification, so there's no interest in the modes.
Mm-hmm. And when we do the Chaturvyuha, we put Pradyumna and Sankarsana and Sambandha.
Yes.
So the energy and the
Pradyumna. Yes, but you can also, if you're looking at, okay, because the activity is going to be performed by the central feature is going to be Vasudev, then he has all those six qualities of the other, and that's how he's applying it. Right? So then Sambandha has those two aspects of the knowledge of the situation or the situation itself, and then the attitude that's there. Right? But you can also look at it that you have these aspects that are there, the Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. And so then those will be those potencies and all that application of it, then that's going to be Sankarshan and Sambandha, Prajumna and Abhideya, and Aniruddha and Prayojana.
Mm-hmm.
And so with those three positions and six qualities that they have, that's then how Vasudeva is going to perform his pastime. So that's why sometimes you see Prajumna is included in Sambandha, but also sometimes you see he's the Lord of Abhideya. Right? So in other words, the attitude is the most important thing that you can have in Abhideya. You're using the knowledge, applying the knowledge. In other words, Abhideya is application of Sambandha. But in that, if the attitude's not right, the attitude defines what prayojana you get. Right? So you change the attitude, you change the actual effect of the result. You don't necessarily change the mechanical result, but you do change the effect of the result. So since it's rasa is about the effect, not about the mechanics, then that means then that aspect of prajumna is very important. That's generally what's left out. It's just thought, I did the practical thing, why is everybody upset? Because yes, you got the right result. So is this not the result you wanted? Yes. So then I got it. What's everybody complaining about? Because the attitude.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So even though you get the result, it's not actually able to be appreciated. Is that,
yeah. And if you take marriage, also false ego, mind, and intelligence?
The false ego is in ignorance, the mind is in goodness, and the intelligence is in passion. Right, because you're trying to please the mind. Right? So using your false position, you perform activities that supposedly please the mind. So due to the mental speculation, then, you know, that's the idea. You know, mental speculation and imagination, but it doesn't necessarily work out. At least we try, right?
This is what we have.
Yeah, you don't have anything else. Okay. Give it your best shot, right? You know. Yeah. That makes sense. So everything fits into these. The Dasamul also fits into this. It's all of them. Dasamul is just expanding and giving different compartments of that.
So we say whatever part is in Sambandha, that's Sambandha, and the last two. Yes? The last one is the Prayojana?
Yes, means your first one, Praman, is the basis of all of them, but it's still Sambandha because that's where the knowledge is from. Then the next seven, those will be Sambandha. So the three aspects of Krishna, how he's the Supreme Lord, all the Shaktis come from him, and he's the Lord of Rasa. Then the three aspects of the Jiva, the nature of the Jiva, the liberated soul, the conditioned soul, and then the Chintaveda Veda Tattva. So those will make up Sambandha. Right? Then Abhideya means your process, devotional process. And then your developing love for Krishna, that's the Prayojana. So that way you get 10. You know, so 1, 7, 1, 1. So 7 and 3 is 10. And Bhagavad Arkamrichi Mala, which we'll see at the, you know, at the end of the year altogether, then that is then just expanding on some of those. Those 7 aren't expanded. What they'll expand is how you say, Praman, the Abhideya, and Prayojana. Right? Like you see, is that the process of sadhana bhakti, what's favorable to sadhana bhakti, what's not favorable to sadhana bhakti. You know, all that you've seen, all those different points, those sections that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given. So all it is further definition of the 10.
And we see at the end of the year?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Means at the end of the year, we'll look at Bhagavad Arkamrichi Mala.
Mm-hmm. Stay tuned.
Yes.
So Maharaj, can we say also something similar, like you can say, Bhagavad Gita is like Sambandha, Bhagavad Gita may be the Anchitana Chaitanya.
Prayojana? In one sense, you could say like that.
Mm.
It means they all have all three,
yes,
but you can
yes.
say the prominence is
yes,
there.
Yes, yes.
Because the prominence of Gita is so you understand who you are, who Krishna is, yes, and like that. So Chitta Chitteshwar is there. The same things in Bhagavatam, they'll put the emphasis on how that's being applied by the devotees. So Chaitanya Charitamrita is applied by the especially the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, what we see, because Lord Chaitanya's purpose, one of the purposes was coming to taste, that affection that Radharani has for him.
Yes. Yeah.
Therefore, then, you can say that prominence makes it like that, Prayojana. But the Bhagavatam's also Prayojana, because it has the thing. But if you're comparing the three, then you can say that emphasis is there like that, yes. But otherwise, you don't try to artificially push it too far on these things. Because some people get it, okay, and they take everything. And so, this one's Sambandha, this is Abhideya, and this one's Prayojana. You know, like this. You know, you don't need to do that kind of stuff. It's just where it naturally fits. So as the Acharyas use it, we'll use it. But technically, everything fits into there. Right? Said, yeah. Realizing oneself to be the eternal spirit soul, the living entity can understand that he is never truly connected to matter, because he is part of the superior energy of the Lord. Therefore, both material bondage and liberation are ultimately meaningless within the reality of the spiritual sky. Right? They don't have a purpose there. Right? Because you don't belong to the material energy anyway, so you're not supposed to be there, so what's the meaning of being liberated? You know what I'm saying? The living entity is the marginal potency of the Lord and should exercise his free will to engage in the pure devotional service of the Lord. By reviving one's eternal spiritual body, one can understand oneself to be a minute particle of the spiritual potency of the Lord. So reviving one's eternal spiritual body. So we have a spiritual body. We just have to revive that we're functioning in that instead of in this one. Right? Okay. By reviving one's eternal spiritual body, one can understand oneself to be a minute particle of the spiritual potency of the Lord. In other words, the living entity is a minute particle of eternity, bliss, and omniscience. And thus, in full Krishna consciousness, there is no possibility of his being carried away by the illusion of the three modes of nature. Because if you're omniscient, then how can you be affected by Maya? Because Maya means it's illusion, but if you know things as they are, then there's no illusion. So where's the Maya? You're dealing with inferior energy, but you're not dealing with illusion. Right? So there's no conditioning.
Yes.
Right.
Can we relate the omniscience to knowledge and also to consciousness?
Yes, yes, they're all the same. It's just different aspects of the same thing.
Yes.
Is you have to be conscious to have knowledge and to be means to be omniscient means that it means you're not omniscient. Was that the word you use it? Omniscient? Yes, be that you're conscious. So unless you're conscious, then you can't know things.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And if you don't know, you can't apply.
Yes.
So it's all part. It's just these different terminologies are to bring out different aspects of, you know, the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the purpose of synonyms.
Mm.
Is they bring out a different flavor of one. So it's like you're trying to find the word and you have the category correct, But then within that, you have to pick the right word, because one will give this mood, that one will give that indication, that will give this and that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So,
so much to have some knowledge, but without connected to Krishna means without Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
It's not considered really knowledge.
No, it's not real knowledge. It means there is something, you're working in that reflected form of that.
Yes.
But the point is then it takes on the aspect of passion here. So it'll give trouble.
Yes.
So having that knowledge or applying that knowledge, it will always give you trouble. Because
yes.
It's not connected to Krishna. But when it's connected to Krishna, then it never gives you problem.
Yes.
In conclusion, it is stated that the individual living entity is never actually entangled in matter and is thus not liberated, although his illusory state may be accurately described as entangled and liberated. Right, so the illusory state, then you can say that they're entangled in that illusory state, they're liberated from the illusory state, but in actuality the living being is not. That's why he says they just imagine themselves.
It's like when we are in prison, you can imagine.
Yeah, you can imagine so many things. Yeah. On the other hand, the Supreme Personality of God is eternally situated in his own spiritual potencies and can never be described as being bound up. And thus there's no meaning to the concept of the Lord freeing himself from such a non-existent condition. So this is... Okay, the purport to 11.11.1. Okay, so now we move on to the next aspect. So this is from Adhikarna 2. So now we're dealing with the Vaisheshika, the atomic theory. The founder of Vaisheshika philosophy is the sage Kanada. Some say that he was named Kanada because he led a life of an ascetic and subsisted on grains of corn gleaned from the field. Kanada wrote the first systematic work of this philosophy, Vaisheshika Sutra. The significant feature of this system is the introduction of a special category of reality called uniqueness, Vishesha. Thus, the system is known as Vaisheshika.
Even this particular name, Kana, is named as Kana. Kana means grain.
Kana. Oh, okay. Mm. Oh, okay. So when you say Kana, that means grain. So
yeah.
If you bring fruit, that's not Kana.
Mm.
Okay. That's why when you go to Indian houses and they give you a huge plate of fruit, and you say you're not hungry, and they go, it's just water. It's not food. Okay, food means grain. So.
Yes.
Kana.
You said so, Anna.
Hmm?
Anna.
Yeah. But it has nothing to do with Canada, because I don't think they grow corn up there. But no, but Mexico, but you say it differently, so it doesn't fit.
Spelling.
Oh, maybe in Mexico they would actually pronounce the. Okay, sambandha, chit. The soul is a unique substance, of which all desires, aversions, pleasures, pains, and cognition are qualities. So we see they're different from the Shankyites, that they accept that the soul has these qualities.
Yes.
Well, Shankya says they don't, but in other verses they say they do. So whichever supports their philosophy.
Right.
Yes.
When we say them in order, like Nyaya and then Vaisheshika and then Shankya.
Yeah.
Previously we used to say that the first one is the basis and then all the rest they include each other.
That's there, but it's kind of like Gautama and Vaisheshika. They're kind of like one group. So it's like you have Gautama, and then the further extension of that is Vaisheshika. Then you have Shankya, the further of that is Yoga. then you have the Jaimini, but then, you know, the complete form of that is the Vedanta. Does that make sense? So they're kind of like a lower aspect of it. Mm-hmm. But you also have the thing one can say, well, why are we going backwards? Because if you deal with the top, it's easier to deal with the bottom. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, if one school is more complete in one area of, you know, bogusness, then by dealing with them, then all other schools that have, you know, some aspect of that bogusness, it'll just be more simply taken care of. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like all the big guys come forward, and if you, you know, somehow or another beat them up, the little guys behind them, then they kind of like, you know, tend to go away. Yeah. That makes sense, yeah.
Even if you see the five aspects of Chittajit, Ishwar, Satya, and Sadhana, for the Vaisheshikas and the Nyayikas, it's the same.
For the Vaisheshikas and?
Nyayikas.
It's the same. Okay. It's the same.
Except for the detail of Achit, they have, you know, about the atomic theory coming up.
Okay, so they'll give a little bit more detail, but otherwise it's the same. Because the basis of them are basically the same, like the yoga system also is based on this. Like that. There are different souls in different bodies. The soul is indestructible and eternal, and consciousness is its accidental attribute. Okay, so now it shows that it has these things, but at the same time as then there's the accidental. So we see here, then they can also vary it as they please.
Accidental means sometimes it has, or some souls have, that's the point?
I guess it depends upon whether they're carrying the hot potato knish and then trip or not, or if they're the one that the hot potato knish lands on. So in other words, what they're saying is sometimes the soul can be a shlemiel, and sometimes they can be a shlemazel. So it just depends. Huh?
Nothing in between.
There's the hot potato knish going through the air. There's that moment. That's what's in between. That's what makes the difference. You know, who drops it and who does it land on? Like that. So you could say, actually, the most important thing is the potato knish, right?
Maharaj?
Yes.
When they mentioned all these qualities of the soul, they mentioned the qualities of the soul, and then they say that there are different souls in different bodies.
Right.
So on what quality do they differentiate one soul from the other?
That hasn't been defined as such. Right? They're just, all they're doing is that they're understanding that there's more than one soul, because they say here, there are many souls because one person's experience do not overlap those of another person. So they're using pratyaksha. And all these things that they're basically applying their pratyaksha on the Vedic literatures. Mm. Right? Trying to get it. They take that, they take the Anuman, but because it's an ascending process, then they never actually come to the conclusion about Bhagavan. Mm. So what we can see is that in all of these, their definition of each of these, that's why then if you bring this out, you can see it's not actually so consistent. That's why their philosophy is not consistent. Right? So all these things is, you'll never see all of this in one place. That's why we put it in one place. Right? They'll put one aspect of the soul in this part of the sutras, they'll put another aspect in another part of the sutras, like that. So in that context, it makes sense. And then when you move to the next context, it also makes sense, right? So that's what they're doing there. So they'll never have them everything there at once. That's why we do it. Because if you take the Vedanta and put it all together, it's consistent. But if you do it with anybody else, right? You know, it's just like you take the, you know, modern religious position. You know, they say the soul is separate from the body. Right? The soul goes on living, you know, it has the aspect of eternity. So what is the soul? Then, well, some will say it's the body, some will say it's the mind, but you just said it's not the body and mind. So that's the problem, is they have no idea. It's just which part of their philosophy means they have a concept of a philosophy, and then the definitions just support that. So by putting them all together in one place, then you see the contradictions. Does that make sense? That's why we do it this way. Because otherwise, if you ask them, they go on for hours talking about chit. Well, here it is. Everything that they have to say about it fits in one paragraph.
Yes.
Yeah? But if you ask someone from Vaisheshika, please explain the soul. Oh, they'll go on and on and on and on. like that, from this angle and that, oh, it's a very difficult subject because he, you know, this, and, but that's the whole point. Because it is not limited by time and space, the soul is also seen as infinite or all-pervading. Right? So they're individual. But then at the same time, is they're infinite and all-pervading. And they don't overlap. So that means then, if you have something taking up, you know, all-pervading, and then something else also taking up all-pervading, so then you'd have to, then this is where you're going to get all your overlapping states in, like the scientists, because the Weishaupt atomic theory, you're going to see elements of the model, like physicists and this, is that they have all these, they're always talking about these you know, unlimited states of existence or parallel planes of existence. You can see this will be a basis for that, you know. So they're not limited by time and space, you know. So that's there. They can deal with this, but so it doesn't make sense. They say that they have desires, aversions, pleasures, pains, cognition, or qualities, but at the same time as consciousness is accidental, right? They're individual, but they're infinite and all pervading.
Yes.
So what's the problem that's happening here? They're again confusing the nature of Bhagavan with that of the jiva. Right, because Shastra talks about Purusha and talks about Prakriti. So they're not distinguishing between the kinds of Prakriti and the kinds of Purusha. So Prakriti means the material energy that's fairly obvious what it is, right? Then if you look at the Supreme Lord, then it's clear on what is his point. The jiva, then they're both Purusha, and that they're superior to the material energy, trying to enjoy the material energy. But at the same time, is they're also Prakriti, because they're an energy of the Lord, enjoyed by the Lord.
Yes.
So there's going to be the most confusion there.
Yes.
Then when you drop Bhagavan out of this, or the Supreme out of this, then now any of his attributes have to come onto the jiva and onto the material energy. And so then you get quite a confusion here. That's why there'll always be a bit of a mishmash.
Yes.
So you can see, it's always basically the same kind of mess. But it's unique because they slightly bring this out, or they slightly bring that out. You know, it's just like the techniques of painting are the same. There aren't any different techniques of painting. But who's going to emphasize which aspect and bring it as prominence? That then gives it a particular kind of art or a particular artist.
Yes. Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like that. So that's the whole what you're doing, like the modes of nature. Which one becomes out prominent, then that takes on those flavors.
Yes.
You know? And then what are the secondary? What's secondary? So if you have goodness, you know, is then right after that's passion and then ignorance, or is ignorance then passion?
Yes.
And then how much is it prominence? Is it just 51% or is it more than that?
Yes.
You know, and then how much of the, you know what I'm saying? Because you could have 51%, you could have 48% and 1%. You know, but so you have all this variety you can make with the same three modes. So you have the same ununderstandings of the philosophy, misunderstandings, based on the Shastra. So there's only so many you can have. So you have chit, achit, ishwar, sadhya, sadhana. I mean, sadhana, sadhya. So then in that, then you're going to then be able to have different categories. Now of that, the main categories then are the six schools. But it's not that you can't continue going further. And even within these schools, they have breakdowns of this school, that school, and all that kind of stuff. Right? Yeah. Is that good?
When we say that we're going further from the six schools, it's just the mixes of them?
Yeah, you're just taking something from here, something from there. They don't know it's from there. They don't attribute it to there. But the point is by the influence of the modes of nature, then Kanada comes up with this philosophy. Right? So, same way, with the modes of nature, someone else will come up with some aspect of it. And by a particular mix, they'll take something from here, something from there. So it's not that they know about the philosophy and take from there. It's just that they build it out of this. Just like anything you build is out of made earth, water, fire, air, ether. You can't make it out of something else. But depending upon how you put it together, you'll call it by a different name. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's all it is that there are six schools You know, and then all the points of bogusness are contained within these six schools. And so anybody else who's coming up with their own philosophy, it will be elements stemming from these six. So that's why if we know the six, then, and you understand these things, then you can understand where those are coming from. Just like you see on, what is it called? Prabhupada's, what was that called? Something dialectics?
Is it Yagriva?
Huh? Yes.
Yagriva.
Yes.
Dialectic material.
Spiritual dialectics. So, whatever philosophy he presented, Prabhupada had an answer.
Yes.
Like that. That's the point. You understand the six schools, you can deal with any combination. Right? It's just like if you know cooking, then you can deal with any recipe. No matter what the combination is. Because some of them are straightforward. You just put it in the pan and that. Some are before that, then they'll take it, cut it up, then they'll marinate it first. You know, or after that, then they'll fry it, then they'll bake it, then they'll, you know. They'll just do all these combinations like that. Like you take the potatoes, cut them really, really thin like that, and you cook them with butter and you know, some cheese and stuff like that. Then if you put them in the pan first, fry them first, and then as it is in the pan, put it in the oven, bake it, then somehow they call it anna, right? Not meaning anna rice, but that's that. But now if you take it, put it in the pan and do the same thing, but don't fry it first and put it in the oven, then it's dauphinois.
Dauphinois.
Right? Does that make sense? So it's the same thing. It's just you applied frying first or you didn't. You know what I'm saying? And so like this, then they make all these. Now if they change the shape, then it has another name. That's it. You know, it's like if you do it wrong and it comes a little mush, you'll say it's overcooked. But then if you completely mush it up, now it's mashed potatoes. As you know, that. So that's all we're doing. Is you're dealing with five elements. You're dealing with six philosophies. Like that. Because there's only so many ways they can have a misunderstanding of the soul. Like that. So, yeah.
Maharaj, so when you say that the contemporary philosophies are a derivative of these six, so then obviously if we are able to refute these six, then it is very, very easy for us to refute the modern ones because they're not at all based on scriptures.
Yes. But you have to use logic. But you have to be able to see what they're saying, cut through, because they'll use different wordings and stuff like that. So you have to be able to cut through that. But yes, it'll be easier.
And then it says about that the system itself is named as Vaisheshik. That means uniqueness. So the unique aspect that Kanad is bringing out is the atoms.
That we'll have to see. Okay. Right. Something unique is there. He brings that out.
Yes.
You know, just like we saw in the Shankites, then they like to bring out, what was that one?
Proximity.
Proximity, right? That's very important for them. So for him, then uniqueness is very important. You know, everybody's got their particular position.
There's no limit of mental speculation.
Yes.
Uniqueness is that the jiva and the karmas of the jiva, the proximity of that, because of which the creation begins, or the atoms are set into motion.
Okay, so then there's some proximity there. So then the next philosophy goes from there. Achit, matter is coexisting with God, and it is the material cause of the universe. These logicians speculate that there are four types of atoms, earth, water, fire, and air. These are without parts, have form, and are spherical.
Right. When we say that regarding the causation, in a sense we can say that Prakriti is the material cause because it supplies the
Yes, energy. Yes.
So we agree with them on that.
Means you'll generally see, because they're all basing on Shastra, there's an aspect that we'll also agree with. It's just their conclusion or what their attitude and how they're trying to apply it. Mm-hmm. Then we'll say that that's not good. Just like, let us say, Is the kitchen knife, you have a good quality kitchen knife, so is it a good thing?
Yes.
Okay, now, So using it to cut potatoes, you can agree with that. Right, but how about cutting potatoes directly on the granite counter? Right? Not so good. Better on a cutting board, right? Because otherwise the knife gets ruined. Okay? So then, and what about that the kid takes it out into the living room to screw together something? Yeah. But the point is it does do that work. Can you be do that? But it's not, so that's what they're doing. They're taking an aspect of the philosophy that should be used one way and using it for something else. So it's not that the point's not right. It's just how they're using it or the conclusion and all that. So that's why you'll see there's so many things that are common, because it's coming from Shastra. But then there's a misunderstanding. Because otherwise sometimes it's taken, oh, there's something in common, so therefore everything's the same. But no, there's something common because they're taking from the same place, from the Veda.
But we can see that devotees also do that.
Yes, so that's the whole point why we're learning this, is so that one can tell the difference what's pure devotion and what's not. Because otherwise, that, you know, it all seems like it's the same and it'll be used that way. But in actuality, it's not, because it gives a different effect. The attitude's different, the effect will be different. Like that. Or, you know, it gives an immediate result, and in the long run, it'll give a bad result.
Yes.
So, yeah. So that's the point of learning it.
Very practical.
Yes, it is very practical. Once one adjusts with it. In other words, once one gets over the beginning element of the mode of goodness being it's bitter in the beginning, then, you know, once you get to the other side, then it's easier to use. Okay, so here they have form and are spherical, so our modern people wouldn't be comfortable with that.
And they are without parts, which is the most important part.
Without parts, yeah. So that means that what they're seeing now, because it has parts, is not technically an atom. They call it an atom, but we have to remember what they call a molecule now.
Yes.
Before, that was what was called an atom.
Yes.
Then when they saw the molecule had something within that, then that one became the atom, this became the molecule.
Yes.
But whether the modes of nature will allow them to see farther into that, then what they see now, that won't be the atom, it'll be even... Yeah. At the time of destruction, they are in the state of not starting effects. At the time of creation, however, with the jiva's karmas in front of them, they begin creation of the world, which is gross with parts by combining into two particles and more. Right? Because you see, it's also when it's talking in Bhagavatam of time, you start with one atom, then you have two atoms, then those go together into the six atoms, and then that goes like this. It just, so there's some system. So here then you see is that they're trying to say is that by the proximity of the jiva's karmas, therefore then they create. But why would they create? Where does the potency come from? That's the problem. Right? They always get down to, they always have these problems.
Not for them.
No, not for them. Well, I mean, it depends. If staying in the material world is a problem or not, then if it's not, then it works for them. Like that. Two atoms having action depending on the jiva's karma, co-joined by that and produce a double atom called a hrashva, small. Thus the causes are two atoms. Sama vayi, the conjunction, asama vayi, and the karma of the jiva, nimitta, efficient cause. So they're saying that the jiva is the efficient cause here, right? You know, instead of, yeah.
Say it in the sense that jiva desires.
Yes. Because from their karmas. So the jiva is like that, because of that, then you get they're the efficient cause. Not the Krishna's the efficient cause.
Yes.
Like that. So this is the problem, because we see is, so if you don't accept that Brahman has attributes and Krishna has energies, so then one can't make any sense philosophically, because that's where the problem comes up, is they're trying to say that God has no energies or has no attributes, because they won't know how far of God that they're dealing with, because none of them are dealing with Bhagavan. Right? So in that, that's where then they have to, okay, where does all those qualities go? You know, where does that affect? Where does that go to? You know, just like we were saying before, those qualities of God that you don't accept belong to Him, you have to attribute to something else because they're there. Yeah, jiva prakriti, and like this. Does that make sense? So then, this is the problem: is that you're already trying to attribute what belongs to, you know, the Supreme Lord, who's above all this, to those that are controlled by Him and below that. So it doesn't make sense why any of this would happen.
And in one sense, Maharaj, whatever they are saying, that it is because of the karmas of the jiva that the creation begins, is actually correct. But they're missing the Lord in the equation. That's why.
In all of these things, is that what they're saying is has an aspect of truth. But the point is that they're leaving the Lord out of it. That's why the philosophy is bogus. But you on this, because there's no need here to show the commonality, other than they're basing it on the Veda, you don't emphasize that point. Like that. It'll come up in ours, and so then you know the difference, and so you can explain it. But in theirs, because as soon as you say, oh, but it's same, they're always, oh, then it's not so bad, so then I can follow it. Like that, so, yeah.
But, for example, if those people, they explain our philosophy, they can theoretically understand it, but because of their misgivings, they are not able to see the logic.
Because of their material attachment, then the Lord won't reveal, because it's only through devotion that it'll be revealed. So that's our point, is that unless someone's a devotee, they can't understand philosophy as it is. You know, we'll take it, no, but these common people are so intelligent and everything like that. And so then, why are we making these comments? So, you know, they're more intelligent than we are. You know, what's your IQ? You know, this guy's IQ is 170-something. You know, what's yours? You know, like that. And, you know, maybe 90, you know, like this. So the whole point is that we're, as I was mentioned before, I think it was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was making the point that we idealize the great materialists, whether they're karmis or jnanis. You know, we'll say that they're in a unique special position, right? And because of that special position, then, you know, they become authorities, and then we have to accept, and, oh, that's just your opinion, but they also... But the point is that when it comes to understanding God, unless He reveals, you can't know Him because He's beyond, and He only reveals if there's devotion. So the knowledge devotees have, no materialist can have, no matter how intelligent they are. But it doesn't mean that the devotee explaining it to that intelligent person, because if they listen nicely, not that they won't understand it possibly quicker than that particular devotee has understood it. So what may have taken years for that devotee to understand, that this materialist that you're talking to, if they're sincere, they may understand it immediately. But the point is it's only in devotional service it works. So nobody will have a proper philosophy other than the Vaishnavas. They can't. Because the philosophy is beyond, tattva is beyond their understanding. So through pratyaksha and other things, they can understand but some things. But that's also governed by the modes, what the modes allow you to understand. So it's by your karma that you understand, like this person, Kanada, he has the karma to do this service. So he can figure this out. Others can't. Right? So... Yeah. Okay. Three double atoms combine in the same way to produce a triple atom called a mahat, big, right? So the same. We've seen Bhagavatam is talking about how the atoms combine. So it's the same way, otherwise why mention that? You know, when 7.5 atoms are there and one of them's playing, you know, ping pong, then it's called this, right? You know, but the one not playing ping pong is called that. And now the question is, where's that half atom, right? Right. So it's the same thing. Two single atoms cannot produce a triple atom. For a greater product must be produced by a greater cause. Four triple atoms combine to make a quadruple atom. From these four atoms, other grosser atoms arise, and from those, still grosser atoms arise. In this matter, great earth, water, fire, and air arise. Right? So you have the great earth, and then you have just the atoms of earth. Right? So what we're sitting on, that's the great earth.
It's like not that. Consistent. Atoms?
Yes.
According to them?
Yeah. No, it's all atoms. I mean, it's just not that we don't disagree with that. It's just that for us, is what's the big deal? It's Krishna's potency.
What about ether?
Then for them, it's just space. So it appears that for them, there's no atoms. Well, we would probably say that there are.
They consider only four elements.
Yeah. Because then that's space, so they don't take it that it's there, because it just exists like that. So we would say that it's made out of atoms. Otherwise, how do you put it together? The 24 elements, you have to have some aspect of it. So now, you may have a particular kind of atom like this, out of earth, water, fire, and air, that then can combine in that in this way, while the other ones, then they're potencies that don't necessarily have to function in this way. But the point is that without the Lord entering them, they can't go together anyway, because they're saying two atoms having, what is it? Thus causes two atoms, somebody, the conjunction. But the conjunction, but they can't explain why there's a conjunction. They're just saying that because of the jiva's karma, there's conjunction. Right? So then it comes back to the individual, because, you know, it's because of us, that's why creation goes on. So it always feels better if it's... You know what I'm saying? Just like if there's a mess in the house, and you say, who made this mess? And then someone said, you did. Oh, okay. You know, it's somehow or another better. Right? You know, but if someone else made the mess, then... Form, etc., in the effect arises from form, etc., in the cause. The samavayi atoms, and these ones were the... are two atoms together, okay? The double atoms. Well, no, because they call them double when they put two of these together. Okay. The samavayi atoms, which are the qualities, shelter. Right? So, because of the karma, then two atoms go together. And then based on that, now everything else builds.
Right? Samavayi is the smallest combination that is mentioned over
here. Yeah, two, right?
Yeah, two atoms.
Yeah, so that's... Because it means what's holding them together is the jiva's karma.
Yes.
What we'll say is that it's Krishna who's holding them together.
Because not everything is jiva's karma.
That's there. But the point is that, you know... Yeah, what has your karma got to do with that, you know, area outside the Loka Mountains that's just golden that, you know, no one goes there because they don't want to drop anything, because if they drop their Rolex, they can't find it again, because everything's golden, you can't see it.
You want your karma to be part of it.
Yes. It's so far away, but it's your karma that is far away, you know. So that's the whole point, is that these things, it doesn't make sense here. Why would it be like this? It's just the way Krishna wants it to be. Yeah. Qualities in the cause, right? Because the cause is the jivas, produce qualities in the effect.
No, you are the cause, is the atoms, they say. The cause, the form, and the qualities.
Oh, okay, so they're taking it about the small atoms and the big atoms. The small earth is atoms, and the big earth is atoms. Okay, so they're saying the form and the effect arises from form, etc., and the cause. Okay, so but that cause, that's based on the jiva's karma.
See, first line that mentioned, form is the effect arises from form, etc., in the cause, the samavayi or atoms, which is the quality shelter. So in the atom resides the form, that's what they say.
Yes, but that form comes from the jiva's karma.
Yeah, the jiva's karma.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. Yeah. Is that you have the big earth, you have the small earth, and then you have the jiva's karma. So the jiva's karma is what's starting the whole thing rolling.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When the Lord wants to destroy earth and other product by separating the action, kriya, from the atoms, By destruction of samyoga, the double atom is destroyed. Without any shelter, the triple atom is destroyed. Step by step, earth and other products are destroyed. In destruction of cloth, by destroying the shelter, the threads, there's destruction of form and other qualities. This is how the universe is destroyed. So you just have to pull out the double atom, and then everything else falls apart. But the point is the double atoms, the anything bigger than the double atom is full of double atoms. So, right? So then you have to separate all those double atoms. So if the karma brings it all together, that means the Lord's potency is the one that has to pull it apart. So that means it's only by His approval can it go together in the first place.
Yes.
So it doesn't make sense. You know, in other words, you understand the points that they have, not that we're going to make sense out of their philosophy. You just understand why means that what they're doing with it. Okay?
Are they going wrong over here about the destruction part? Because when they say that you have the double atoms on which you have the six atoms and everything being built up, so when the destruction takes place, it should be exactly in the opposite way. The bigger thing destroyed, then the smaller, and then last will be the samayoga will be destroyed. But they say that you just pull out the samayoga and everything falls off.
Yeah, well, it's like that anyway, isn't it? I pull out, if we take out the stand, then how does the rest of it stand? It stay up, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like you have this whole stack of things. You pull out the one on the bottom, it all falls down. You know, it's kind of like London Bridge. Right? So, the point is that, but what's being not being seen here is what's holding the two atoms together? The Lord's potency is holding together. So, that's why then the Lord's potency, if potency is not applied, then it can come apart. So if He doesn't hold it together, it won't stay together. You know, so they're not looking at other things like Ananta Sesha is breathing out fire and all that kind of stuff, or Mahavishnu is breathing in. They're just looking at the mechanistic aspect. So you see is that these first three schools, they're just mechanistic. Like that. It means not that yoga is not mechanical, but it also throws in the aspect of the mind. Up to this point, the mind is not actually a consideration in the whole process. Like that.
But they say when the Lord wants to destroy earth, so they accept.
It seems that they accept the Lord in some aspect. This is different from the atheistic Kapila, who doesn't accept anything there.
Yes.
But the point is that they're not accepting that that he's the one that holds it together in the first place. Because if the karma can make it go together, why can't the karma keep it together?
Yes.
Right? So that means if the Lord can take it apart, then where does the potency for karma to hold it together come from? Because if karma itself could hold it together, then of course we have to acknowledge that God's potency is greater than the karma of the jivas. But that potency of that, why is it even able to do that? Right? So these aspects, they're not somehow or another addressing. So then they'll base these things on Shastra. They'll understand it's there, but this will be unclear because their intelligence is clouded by illusion. So they'll make mistakes.
Can we say they deified the Lord?
It appears so.
Nothing to do with
that. Yeah. That means all of them seem to. It's just that he has some part that he plays and the rest of the time he doesn't.
Right. Also, they do not have an answer like where do the karmas of the jiva reside. So that's again a big flaw in the philosophy.
It's just they don't have any. There's always going to be a weakness. The atom, smallest particle, is called parimandala. Its size is called mandalyam. The double atom is called anu, and its size is hrasvar, small. The triple atom is called mahat, or dirga, big. Okay. So then that is the material energy. So you see here, they only deal with atoms. They don't even bother with anything else. Because not that all these things aren't happening, but it's just it's the atoms going together and the atoms going apart, which is what's important to them. So they don't look at anything else. Does that make sense?
Simple.
Huh?
Simple.
Yeah, it's simple. Yeah.
So with atomic philosophy, it is very easy to be detached.
Oh, okay, yeah. If it's just atoms, then it doesn't, somehow or another, it's not as attractive.
Yes. Right? But in modern science, it is like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So three, Ishwara. God is entirely transcendental to the soul and the material nature. He is not the material cause of the universe, but the operative cause of creation, maintenance and destruction of the universe. God does not create the world out of nothing or out of himself, but rather out of eternal atoms of space, time, mind, and soul.
Who created them?
That they don't take it that far. They're not actually wanting to know about God. That's why you see that the person who surrenders and actually wants to know about God and him as a person and all that, and because he can appreciate his position, that's the jnani of the three kinds of neophytes. Someone who just, you know, the knowledge looks interesting and intriguing, that's the jigyasu. Someone who actually wants to know about God. So you can see is they're not wanting to know about God because they haven't surrendered, they're not devotees. So only how much Shastra talks about and putting that into the material context, then that's how much they know. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jaya Nitya Gaura Premanandini ki.